Welcome to episode number 26 of the Galveston Ghost Podcast. Well, it seems like we're always apologizing for the bit of a delay between episodes, and we won't go into all the details, but suffice it to say we just purchased our second bus to do our ghost bus tours, historic tours, hurricane tours, and such, and we're deploying a few cool new tour concepts here. So that's kept us pretty busy, but we've got a story that I've been wanting to tell for some time, ever since July of 2019. We were driving a tour, and there was a group. We were going through the graveyard, the Broadway Cemetery. And when we do the ghost bus tours through the cemetery, we ask people if they'd like to tell a story. You know, what better place to tell a story than in a graveyard? And there was a group that told a story about the place that they were staying called the Gingerbread House. And that's the first time we heard about the Gingerbread House. And at the end of the story, they asked if I knew if there was any place that they could stay over the weekend. And I said, well, it's the 4th of July weekend. Everything is Galveston, everything's booked up. They said that they're not going back. After what they experienced their first night in the Gingerbread House, they weren't going back, and they needed a place to stay. So I said, we have to find out more about this. So we tracked down the owner, and she was kind enough to do an interview with ghost hunter Kate. And she had a lot to say about the hauntings in the house. So here's ghost hunter Kate with part one of the Gingerbread House.
Okay, today we're going to hear about the Gingerbread House at 2901 Broadway Street. There are lots of stories on the internet and some videos about this house. I got a chance to sit down with the owner of this home, and she was telling me stories about a ghost that is there that she has named Charlie, and she said that Charlie has an English accent. I was wondering if I could figure out who Charlie is or how he got to be in that house, so I went back to the 1900 census reports to see who I could find. Well, the original builders of that house was Albert A. Van Alstine and his wife, Catherine or Kate Stone Lufkin Van Alstine. She's the one that was the opera singer, and Albert Van Alstine was very big in the railroad. Well, their daughter, Mary, in the 1910 census, actually was living in that house with her family. Mary Lufkin Van Alstine Sinclair was married to Colonel William Stanley Sinclair. They lived there up through the 20s. Well, in the 20s, it shows that Alberta, which is one of Mary's sisters, and Catherine, the mom, was living in this house with some of the other grandchildren. In addition, it shows that they had some boarders at that house. Curtis Vinson was actually registered in the census as an English typesetter that was working in Galveston. So I don't wonder if maybe that English-accented ghost could be Curtis and not Charles.
When I first got it, I was going to do a candle shop store. The whole downstairs was going to be a candle shop store, and then upstairs was going to be rented. I don't know if you know the religion, the Cuban. It's an African Cuban religion. Mm-hmm. They're called Santeros, where they do a like a mass, and they do ceremonies where they do crown, you know, a person is like they're reborn again. You mm-hmm. know, they have to be here 7 days. They do the ceremony, and when they do that, a lot of priests, babalados, mm-hmm. they come from Miami, from New York, and they do the ceremony, so they have to stay here 7 days. Okay. So I was thinking to do that.
Yeah.
7 days. They have the candle stores downstairs, and you know, they can do the ceremonies. And I had someone come, and they did a mass here where they bring the spirits down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done on the second floor in the middle room.
Oh my gosh, I've got goosebumps
yes.
already.
And you have to be, you know, sitting down on a chair. It's like a round thing. And then they put holy water. They read parts of the Bible. And it's a special person that sits there, and she's the one that starts viewing, mm-hmm. you know, who's coming down, and she just, it can be family members of whoever's here too.
Mm-hmm.
And when she did that, it was on the second floor, she was praying, and out of anywhere, the last bedroom, someone showed up in there. And he started talking. It was a white person. He's about 6 feet tall, and he speaks with like an English accent. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, telling us what he was saying, that he was a really religious person. He passed away, not here in the house, but he passed away in the hospital. Something about his heart. Whoever took care of him here at the house used to read the Bible to him a lot. So he requested, I don't know if you noticed the last bedroom. Mm. He says that and I was like, you know, she was telling me all this. And then he was telling her that he was going to fill this house with people all over the world. People were going to come to this house. He was going to take care of it. He was going to take care of me and for me to be careful with the stairs. He said several things, and he requested a glass of holy water, a rosary, a crucifix, and a Bible and light in that last bedroom. There's where he used to sleep. Mm-hmm. So it's there. I put that in there for him. So every time I come in, I name him Charlie. So every time I come in, I said, I'm here, Charlie. And when I'm cleaning, mm-hmm. and I'm fixing to do that bedroom, I always turn the Bible into something else, mm-hmm. you know, and then I change the water. That's who's most of it here. Okay. And then my experience with him. Oh, and then she said there was different people. Yeah, she saw an older lady like throwing petals, you know, like cleaning the house. Mm-hmm. She saw children. She said that they used to, I guess, use this house. It might be at a certain point where the hurricane used to come, mm-hmm. and people would evacuate, and some of them would use it here. So she says that there was a lot of spirits. Mm-hmm. I had experience with Charlie. You know, I talked to him mm-hmm. when I'm cleaning.
Yeah.
And one of my experiences that he showed me that he's listening. I don't know if you noticed the AC units on the outside. They used mm-hmm. to be, they're 10 tons. So when I got it, they used to be humongous.
Yeah.
2 10-tons. And my AC broke down. And I had the house rented the next day.
Oh, gosh.
And I was, oh, my God, they're going to charge me a lot to fix them, this and that. So I put a page here in Galveston to whoever fixes ACs, and if they can come and help me. So someone came. They brought the maintenance guy. And then he told me he's going to check them, see what's going on. And I said, okay, that's fine. And I asked him, how much they're going to charge me? He's like, we won't know until they see. So my candle shop is at the bottom of the apartment. So I was on that side.
Okay.
And they left this guy here, and he was like, well, your one of the units, the freon is leaking. You know, we're going to have to fill it up, and there's like $60, $70 a gallon. I say, that's fine. Then he's like, but the other one, there's an issue with the connection, the cables. It looks like they put them wrong. And I was thinking already in my mind, oh, my God, he's going to charge me a lot, mm-hmm. you know? I finished, and then he asked me, do you know where's the unit for the second floor? You know, the thing. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I thought it was the attic because there's a big machine upstairs, you know? So I thought that was it, and I told him, well, in the attic. So I sent him to the attic. And then I came in the house. I looked outside, and I saw his bed. You know, he was still here because I couldn't hear him. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, that's fine. Well, I'll wait. So I started cleaning, you know, and I went upstairs and I was changing the beds. And then I was talking to Charlie, and I said, oh, my God, Charlie, you better do something. So he won't charge me that much.
Yeah.
And I was stuck with him.
Help me.
I know. I was telling him, please, help me so he won't charge me that much. I was talking to him. I was finishing. I finished the whole upstairs. And then when I came downstairs, I turned the TV in to watch TV. When I looked outside, he was gone. The man was gone. So I called that guy, his boss. I called him, hey, what happened? You know, your guy's gone. I don't know if he fixed it or not. And then he's like, what do you mean he's gone? I said, yeah, he's not here. So he was like, well, let me go over there and check. So he came. He turned the ACs. No, he didn't fix them. And then he kept calling him. The guy didn't answer. So I'm like, oh, my God. So how much are you going to charge me, you know?
Right.
And he's like, just give me $200.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, that's okay. You just give me $200. 3 days later, he called me and told me that that guy saw something. He got scared in the attic. So he said he's not coming back. 2 months ago, my AC went out and I called him. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to come. Nobody wanted to come in here. They say, no, my guys don't want to go. They said they're scared. You know, they don't want to go in there. So I had to call a stripper company in Houston so they can come and they replace the units. But it was so funny. I don't know what Charlie did. I don't know what happened because he didn't say. He just said that he saw something that he didn't like. He got scared. He's not coming back. I'm like, oh my God. And he charged me $200.
Oh, good job, Charlie.
Good job, Charlie. Yeah. But see, that day when I did the mask, then she was telling me all this stuff. And I did remember a long time ago, I read on something on online mm-hmm. in the house. Someone did report it that they heard someone with an English accent. Because my maintenance guy is the brother of the people who used to own it. He says when they built the whole apartment brand new, he used to stay here, you know, for 2 years they stayed. Mm-hmm. And he said never in his life saw anything. Until that day he came and fixed something for me. He said he was coming out of the kitchen, out of the restroom. And if you see the hallway on that side and you see that mirror right there, yeah. It reflects the staircase. Mm-hmm. So when he was like coming, you know, in here, he saw the mirror. He saw someone. It was a white person. Her dress was so long, like up to her like ankles. Mm-hmm. And you can see her. You know, she was walking up the stairs. Yeah. It was here. Like I said, when she told me that, you know, she was going to bring people all over the world, I kept thinking to myself, you know, a lot of people don't believe, you know, on the candle shop and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I didn't believe, you know, I didn't believe too much. But a few months later, because I was renting the apartment first for the weekends, but then I was like, you know, I'm losing so much space here. So I switched the candle shop into the apartment mm-hmm. on the bottom. So I put this house online and it started raining for the cruises.
Yes.
People come. And they spend the night. And out of anywhere, I started thinking, oh my God, he was right. People from Puerto Rico, New York, Chicago, mm-hmm. you know, Mexico, even from Mexico, they come spend the night. They get, you know, family reunion here mm. one day, one night.
Yeah.
And then they leave on the next day on a cruise. So I was like, oh my God, gross. Charlie was right.
All over the world.
He was right.
So there's part one of the Gingerbread House. Pretty interesting place. Kate's got some great photos. And we're actually planning to see if we can't get in and do an overnight, like a ghost hunt there, and invite some of our ghost hunter friends and several of our guests. And maybe you, if you're interested, just keep monitoring us here, and we'll definitely give you some advance notice if we go into the Gingerbread House and do an overnight stay. But I will say this is the first time of all the podcasts that we've done. You know, we do this podcast. It's produced by RadioGalveston.com, and we've done nearly 80 of the Galveston Experience podcasts. And for the first time ever with this particular podcast, I had some very bizarre experiences trying to edit the interview, the audio interview from the lady that owned the Gingerbread House. Everything gets captured, then put up into Dropbox. From Dropbox, we bring it into the editing software. And it was as if they didn't want this interview to be produced because it wouldn't be there. All of the other pieces were in the Dropbox, but this interview piece was not there. It was the craziest thing. And I had to go through several other processing, exporting and putting it into different things, and finally was able to capture it and get it down. So in the end, we won. It was part one of a cool story. And before too long, if you subscribe, you'll be notified when we release part two of the Gingerbread House. And if you'd like to jump on the Galveston Ghost Bus Tour, we'd love to have you. And we definitely go right by the Gingerbread House, and we'll be including more information about this as we learn more, and hopefully, as I said, do an overnight stay at some point in the future. So if you're interested in the Galveston Ghost Bus Tour or any other tours, you can find all about that and book it online at galvestonexperience.com. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we hope you'll give us a nice 5-star review. Tell your friends about it. And if you know somebody who's got a story, we're always taking new interviews. So the more people we talk to, the more we find that, yes, Galveston is one of the more haunted places in the United States. And if you've never had a chance to visit, we hope you'll stop by and check it out for yourself. So hopefully we'll see you on the Ghost Bus Tour, see you at our place at 15th and Seawall, if nothing else. We'll be looking for you right here on the next episode of the Galveston Ghost Podcast.